Hello, this is Pastor Nick Hood, and today I'm at Hot Sam's, one of the great clothing stores in Detroit, and I'm with the co-owner, Tony Stovall, and his daughter, Lauren Stovall. How are the two of you doing?
Wonderful. I'm honored to be on your show, sir.
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you. You know, I've been a customer of this store since 1994. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know it was 94.
You know how I know it was 1994? Because I got elected to the Detroit City Council in 1993, and somebody told me I had to improve my wardrobe. That's when I started coming there.
And that is amazing. I didn't know that, and I knew of your dad, and I actually knew of you. And it's funny you said you got elected in 93. Mm-hmm. Since I started working at Hot Sam's in 74, we bought it in 94. So when we became the owners, you became a customer.
Yeah, actually, and you became the owner in the previous location, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. And now tell me this. Did you and Cliff work at Hot Sam's as students, or how long have you worked at Hot Sam's?
I started working at Hot Sam's in 74. As a young college student, wanted to go to school to be an electrical engineer, but I was a customer of Hot Sam's for years. My father brought me there to get my first real suit. And I was kind of a snazzy dresser. I went to Southeastern High School and was voted the best dresser in my school. All of them shopping at Hot Sam's. Little did I know that I would end up working there, because I never filled out a job application, and they were fairly impressed with my style and my gift of gab, we'll say, and they asked me why I worked there one summer. And I was pretty good with math and at school, as I told you, going to school to be an electrical engineer. I was in my third year of college. And at that time, electrical engineer got paid $12,000 a year. I was pretty good with math. I worked that summer at Hot Sam's, worked there 6 months, I'll say, and I made $10,000.
In 6 months?
In 6 months, in sales.
Okay.
So I saw something that it must have been. Now, as we talk about fashion and faith, two things that have hit me as we talk about that, didn't know it initially. That one, I think, is faith, that when we bought the store, you became a customer. I think it's faith that I didn't know what I was going to do, but because of the courage that I have, my father raised me to speak up for myself, and he said, whatever you're going to do, be the best at whatever you do. And I was the best salesman, and I was pretty quick at numbers, and math was fairly easy for myself. So I started working there, and then Mr. Green, I became the manager real shortly because of my sales production. They was boosting me up, and I was assistant manager, buyer, and all those different things. And then Hot Sam's was growing and growing, and our business was growing. And we needed to get another top flight salesman. At the time, we had about four or five, and we lost one for some reason. I don't know if it was illness. And Mr. Green came in 1982.
Did you know him before Hot Sam's?
Now there's faith again. Yes. Me and Cliff used to go up to UAD. He was going to UAD, and I played basketball in a league they had up there. And me and Cliff were competitors playing ball. Little did I know that his history of working at Hudson's and graduating from UAD in business would lead him to be the guy that when I interviewed him for the job, at the time I told the owners, we don't have to interview anyone else. This is the man for the job. So we hired Cliff, and he was an excellent salesman. He used all of his skill that he had from working at Hudson's and his experience. He also had his own, he was a tailor. He also had his own private customers. So we blended pretty well. So around 92 or 93, I'm really ready to go. I'm ready to leave Hot Sam's. And I thought about it, and that's faith again, because Cliff was one of the coolest guys that I ever met.
He's still cool.
Yeah, that went to church.
Went to church. Yeah.
He was raised up at Williams Chapel. I was not raised up in church. My father raised me just opposite. So I just liked the guy, and then it happened to be, our faith, that he went to church. And I was impressed with the fact that he went to church and wasn't as square as I thought church people were. You know what I mean? So
church people do sometimes have that reputation or the other way.
When you say the other way, what do you mean by that?
Either a square or
Not a
good Christian.
Yeah, it's not much in between when you go to church. Mm-hmm. We or outsiders expect us to walk nicely or whatever. Mm-hmm. But obviously, and I felt that way about church, but obviously once you get into church and you read the Bible and you understand that those disciples and everything else, they were regular folks like you and I.
Absolutely.
And then we must also remember that he came for the sick. Mm-hmm. If you didn't need a physician, you didn't really need Jesus.
Came for the sick, came for the lost.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I was lost.
Okay.
Didn't know I was lost. Because mm-hmm. life was going on pretty well, and I'm a pretty successful businessman. And so life was not bad to me. It was very good not going to church. And then I fell in love with my wife now of 44 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And my father, I always wanted to be the best at whatever I do. So I wanted my marriage to work. I want my career to work and all those kind of different things. And I know now that that was God. It was not me. There was no plan that I had. It was a plan he had for me. So I really like this topic of faith and fashion because really, we really have to have faith. And it's a blessing to have faith when it means something, someone or something I can lean on. As a black man in America, life gets rough.
Yes, it does.
And it's a blessing to me that to find Jesus at this ripe age, that I'm now married and trying to have a family, trying to do the right thing. My wife said we need to be, raise the kids in church. So we started going to church. And little did I know that I would find this guy named Jesus that everybody's been telling me about.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And what year did you and Cliff purchase?
1994.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's right. So our paths collide in 1994.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I learned a lot just purchasing clothes from you all. You may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I began to ask you questions about how to dress mm-hmm. and, what was it? What is it that makes Hot Sam's different? And one of the expressions that you used was, well, we are forward fashion,
mm-hmm.
fashion forward. And you made the point, and I'm saying it, just from my recollection, that was a long time ago, but you talked in terms of, well, Nick, you can buy a suit anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy slacks anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference in coming to a place like Hot Sam's is that we have not only the straight and somewhat conservative things,
mm-hmm.
clothing, but you can also buy something here that you can't buy in the regular stores. The regular stores are afraid to sell it.
It is amazing to us, all these years I've been in this business, that people like fashion. People like to have a little cutting edge on their dress. People don't want to look just like the other guy. Even though we have fashion, I want this clear for everyone to understand, because our name, Hot Sam, they wonder, they think everything must be real flashy. We sell more black and blue suits than we sell any suit we've ever had. We sell more white dress shirts than any other color dress shirt we've had. Those are the basics of dressing. So why anyone would think that we would not care, that we are a full-service men's clothing store. Tailor shop, we go from shoes to hats to coats to everything, the gamut.
I even saw sunglasses in here today.
Right. See, we want to be a one-stop shop if possible, because unfortunately, people like to go shop one just to see something fresh. Sometimes people go shopping because they're depressed, and shopping takes them out of whatever they're going through, that I've got something for myself, and I can look better and feel better. So we really learn to be your friend. And that was something we wanted to do when we bought the store. We wanted our customer to be able to feel comfortable to come to the store and talk about anything. Not necessarily come to the store just to buy something. I didn't want our relationship with our customer to be based on, I'm going to go spend some money with this guy. I wanted them to feel like we're your friend and we could talk about everything. Because, women have a tendency to have their organization where women come together and talk about their issues. And unfortunately, most of the time it's talking about their husband or men. Well, men doesn't really have that, because men almost feel like it's a weakness when they show any vulnerability. But we create oases here where they feel comfortable to share and talk about anything you might feel. And I've had gentlemen leave here and say, man, I didn't know I could tell you all that, and I just met you. But we try to make them feel comfortable so we can do that.
It's funny. As I mentioned, I started shopping with you in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Went through the city council years, and I think I was a pretty regular customer.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I kind of stepped out of that. I said, I'm not in the public limelight
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And just went back to the black, blue, and brown
yeah.
suits.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I notice that is consistent, going all the way back to 1994, is that you have a clientele, which you're right. Some of the men who seem to gravitate here, and I've been here three or four times in the last couple months or 2 or 3 months, who look like they're just here just to have conversation, you know, and look around, you know, kind of like if this were a car dealership, they'd be kicking the tires of the car. They're feeling the clothes, looking at the clothes, but more than that, or as much as that, I see them talking with each other and with the sales.
And I'm talking, they talk to people they don't know. They come in here and talk about, we can get to talking about sports. It doesn't make any difference. We want you to feel comfortable. When you're comfortable at a store, you tend to want to gravitate to the store and bring your friends to the store just to meet the people at the store. And let me tell you this about, I want people to be clear on this. African-American men, black people in particular, are proud of each other when we accomplish something. I remember when we first bought the store in 94, and this is not just humorous to me, but you're going to feel what I'm going to say, Reverend. This older lady called and asked me, are you one of the colored boys that bought the store? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I just want you to know I'm so proud of you and your partner because you're making colored people look good. Now, you heard me, I'm saying color because that's what we called ourselves
now,
back.
Was she African-American?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what she...
One of the colored boys.
One of the colored boys that bought the store. Because I remember growing up, that's what we called. We were colored.
Matter of fact,
growing up, you and I both know this is the craziest. All you had to do was call me black and we were ready to fight.
Now we're black and proud.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Tony. So what are the rules of fashion? Are there any rules in fashion?
Actually, no.
Really?
Matter of fact, fashion, that's what makes it fashion. And it's, and maybe there should be some basics of fashion. Like I shared with you earlier, the basics of fashion, one, a man should have a black suit, a blue suit, a white shirt. You can exchange them and wear them different ways so you can extend your wardrobe. Fashion also is, it speaks to the person. Your clothes that you wear, that individual, he looks unique. So he wears something a little different than someone else. Fashion is also what fits you. What looks good on you should be the rule of fashion. Like I can remember back in the early 90s, they had these zoot suits, right? Now, I'm 6'2". I never owned a zoot suit. Never. But I saw guys that were 5'5" wearing a zoot suit.
And did just they wear it well?
Well, he wore it well, but he's 5'5". He doesn't need that coat. You should wear, any of us should wear what fits. Okay, I'm going to take me right now. Skinny suits are in. I'm not skinny anymore, so therefore I'm not wearing a skinny suit. Here at Hot Sam, you can come to us and we'll give you a tailored fit suit without a tailored price. Second is we will counsel you because right now about no rules to fashion, they're going crazy. When we grew up, you could wear a solid coat, and if you wore a patterned shirt, you had to wear a solid tie. See, now they're mixing plaid with plaid and all that, and it looks almost somewhat clownish, even though you're trying to be fashionable. So when you come to Hot Sam, between me and my staff and my partner, we have over 100 years of fashion. So therefore, there's a balance between the two. A fancy shirt and a fancy tie, how do we make that work without it looking clownish? That comes from years of experience to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And we're very successful. The reason we know, Hot Sam has been in business for over 100 years. And I tell people this, we may not have everything, but just to survive the recession, the depression, and the pandemic and all these different things, when they shut the doors to our store for the first time in 100 years of existence, our customer base is so strong we were able to survive that. That's because of our relationship with our customers. They will come here during the pandemic and would buy a suit. And I'm telling them, I said, where are you going? You can't go anywhere. He said, I'm going to wear this suit and put it on Facebook to show my friends how good I look because I don't get to see my friends. So technology has helped us immensely. Matter of fact, I'm going to move into another part that I'm so proud of. My daughter coming in is the one that put us on Facebook. My daughter coming in is the one that put us online. So another thing about business, you must be able to adjust. One thing we know in life, change is constant. So is fashion.
So, Tony, I want to talk about daughter. You have three daughters, right?
Three lovely daughters, yes.
And did you tell me at one point all of your daughters have worked here at the store?
Yeah, I want this to be clear. All of my kids have worked at the store one time or another. All of my partner's kids have worked at the store one point or another. Lauren just happened to come at a time, finishing school and journalism and things of that nature, and she has an eye for fashion. So she come in the store one day and seemed interested. Came in, just sat and gave us a few different ideas, just ideas off the top of her head. We end up changing the entire store. We did a survey of Bedrock on what do their customer base want. We, at the time, we didn't carry blue jeans. We did a survey, which is smart of her, what does your customer really want? So she brought that in, so it made us be more insightful of what things are going on. So we changed the store, and you must be willing to listen to these young people.
Absolutely. And by having your daughter here, Lauren, if she wants to and you want to, you're creating a succession plan.
Yes, we are.
And in our community, you know, that doesn't always exist. You know, very often businesses die out with one generation.
Most of the time.
Right, yeah. Right. So, Lauren, yes. With that being said, share some thoughts about working with your dad and Tony and, you know, what you've learned from them, but also what do you bring into the table?
You know, it's been really just a blessing thus far. This was not anything that I planned to do. So I went away to college in 2000, and I was gone for a total of 9 years. I went to FAMU in Tallahassee, Florida, and just stayed down there and returned home in 2009. And, you know, I tried my hand at working a corporate job and in corporate America, and just decided that that was not quite the way that I think I was going to be able to produce in terms of working. And so I came back to the store again, even though I had worked at the store periodically, but came back around that time. And it wasn't until I had went away, moved back home, and took a look at the landscape of downtown Detroit and the changes that were happening, and then took another look at Hot Sam's, and really started understanding what Hot Sam's meant to the community and what it meant to the city. And so then it became more of, okay, let's make sure that Hot Sam's, though we are the oldest men's clothing store, that we don't look like the oldest men's clothing store, that we don't operate like the oldest men's clothing store. And so then it became more apparent in terms of what I could offer and bring to the store, which is fresh ideas, insight, innovation, relationship building, and it stemmed from me going away to college and kind of learning some of these things, and then coming back home and implementing it in our family business.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know much of my history, but when I came out of divinity school, I didn't have a job. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I ever told you this, but my father called me the November of 1975. I graduated in June of 76. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, he said, Nick, do you have a calling to a church? I said, no. He said, are you seeking a church? I said, no. Because I was having a ball, man. I was at Yale Divinity School. Mm-hmm. I was the pastor of the black church at Yale. I also directed the Yale Gospel Choir. I was having a ball. Mm-hmm. I met my wife there, mm-hmm. and I was in no hurry to do anything. And my father mm-hmm. told me, he said, don't you think you should be looking for a job? And so I said, well, I guess. And he said, why don't you come work for me for 2 years? He said, if you work for me for 2 years, he said, but I'll tell you, it'll take you 5 years to learn a job. He said, but if you work for me for 2 years, maybe at the end of 2 years, some church in America or around America will think you're old enough to be the pastor. 'Cause I was only 24 mm-hmm. at the time. And Lauren, it was the best 8 years of my life. I worked with my dad for 8 years, and he would ask me to bury people I think he didn't know and do a lot of things he didn't want to do. But in the process, I learned the ministry. Mm-hmm. And as I look back on it, it was the 8 best years of my life. So, again, I want to ask you the same question I asked your dad. What does fashion forward mean to you?
Fashion forward. You know, what I think about fashion is that it's very subjective, if that might be the word. Just, I think that it is unique to everyone. I think we all have a unique fashion sense. And I think that it's important that we step into and accept and embrace whatever our fashion style is. I think in Hot Sam's, what we've been able to do now is have an array of fashion that is, you know, really when you walk in here, you'll have an option for whatever type of man and whatever style that that man wants. I think we have a nice selection now in the store. But I think fashion is an expression. In terms of being fashion forward, I think it's an expression of who you are, of even how you're feeling some days, depending on what you want. Maybe that's for me, probably. I dress like in my mood, depending on my mood, depending on the weather, depending on what I have to do. Like, these are literally things I consider when I decide what I'm going to put on. And so my fashion can be dependent upon all of that. But I think fashion is very unique and should be independent and not something that is really told to you, but that's something you evolve into and grow into.
So, can you envision a day when there would be not only a Hot Sam's, but a Hot Simone's?
No, I cannot.
Okay.
So we
stick to men.
I think we should stay with what I think this is the lane. A lot of people, yeah, ask about a Hot Samantha. I don't see it. I could be wrong, but I don't see that happening. And so I think we do what we've been doing, and we do it well. I think this is our niche. This is our lane. And so sometimes we, you know, lines can get crossed where you try to do more than what you might even be called to do. And we, you know, you can't do everything, right? So leave it up to somebody else to open up a Hot Samantha's. You know, I think we'll stay with Hot Sam's. I think. I could be wrong.
Well, my response to that is actually online shopping is the fastest growing business in the world. So if my vision is, since we have a brick and mortar store and been here for 100 years, imagine if we can be online for 10 more years, which is the fastest growing business, period. Is my vision is forgetting, even people ask me, I want to get another location. Do you want to go over to Avenue of Fashion? No. I want to be downtown where the hub of everything is. And I'm flipping just a little bit. And to be able to do what we did Saturday, to have a Black Wall Street so we can inspire other black people that you too can be in your own entrepreneur. I think it's imperative that this is something not for just for us. I'm now looking at this because I'm becoming less selfish, that we must tell other black people, you too can do this. I don't want to be we somebody special. Could we be the pioneer or the trailblazer to inspire others? Is what I'd rather have our story to be. That we can grow on online to more than $1 million in sales online. And that's like having two stores in one, far as I'm concerned, without having to locate the brick and mortar location and responsibility.
Right. That's a vision. Mm-hmm. Lauren, I want to ask you one more question. Same question I asked your dad. Where does your faith fall into this fashion business? Mm-hmm. And in life in general?
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. So I am, very much at this point in my life, a person who is guided by faith and directed by faith and directed by the Holy Spirit that is working within me. So I don't oftentimes move or do things without being guided by the Spirit. So the work that I do here at Hot Sam's, I created a title for myself for the work that I do, which is called The Legacy Preserver. I literally cannot think of a title that existed in mainstream, I guess, that identified with what I do at the store. And so I think it's very much divine that, that God would have me here at this particular time doing this particular work. And I do think it's for a much bigger vision. Anything God has or anything God has is always exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever think, ask, or imagine. So I know that there is even more. And so preserving the legacy is what I have been tasked with doing for Hot Sam, but I now see it as also preserving the legacy for other businesses. Mm-hmm. And other entities. Mm-hmm. As well. So faith is what I am guided by in my everyday life.
All right. I'm impressed by that. Tony, you're the co-owner, so I'm going to give you the last word. any closing thoughts?
Well, and I'm glad to hear my daughter's humbling herself for what she just shared with you, because we have played around with what title would she have. I remember one time we said, you're going to be the manager. She said, well, I don't know if I want to be the manager. Then we said something else, assistant buyer, assistant this. And she's the one came up with legacy, which we never really discussed about per se, but it fits in what my vision is. We must tell a story to inspire others.
Yes.
It is not about just us any longer. And that's why I noticed what God wanted us to do, meaning testing our faith. And God has said, if you take one step, I'll take two. If he's with you, we can't lose.
Absolutely.
So our faith is what guides us. Our faith is what keeps us. And we continue to have the faith in him, because sometimes these issues that I've been going through as an owner, I know it was him. Because sometimes the money wasn't there to pay a bill, or this wasn't there, or the idea wasn't there. But God wakes you up and gives you ideas. He woke me up one day and told me that she should be my successor. He woke me up one day, and we talk about celebrating 100 years in business. So we're led by faith, totally.
You know, this Sunday I'm preaching a sermon entitled Believe in Yourself. Believe in Yourself. And I wrote a little poem to go with it. I don't remember it exactly, but it's some folk will laugh, others may frown, some will try to put you down, some will pity you, but believe in yourself. You have to just keep on believing. Right. And there comes a point, you know, when I was ordained in June 13th, 1976, Andrew Young preached the ordination sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And he said a lot of things in that sermon, but one of the things he said was, there may come a day, he said there will come a day, when not even your own mother or father will understand what you really want to do. And he said, at that point, you just have to believe in yourself. And he used a scripture from 1 John 3, where it says, Beloved, we are the children of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him face to face.
Ooh.
And then he turned that around. You know, he's like a family friend.
Mm-hmm.
My father ordained him. He ordained me.
Mm-hmm.
He turned that around. He said, Dick, you know, it's like Balaam's ass in the book of Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you all know that story, but in the story, the prophet Balaam is asked to bring a prophecy. He doesn't want to bring it because it's a bad prophecy. And the donkey that he's riding on turns away from the direction where Balaam wants to go, and Balaam starts beating him. And then the donkey turns around and says, why are you beating me? And the prophet and the donkey are having a conversation. And so Andrew turned that around to say, if God could speak through Balaam's ass, surely he can speak through you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So this is not about me. It's really about you all. I'm very proud of the work you have accomplished, and I'm sure with Lauren and the next generation, the legacy will continue.
Thank you.
Lauren, any last words you want to say?
No, just thank you for everything that you do and what you contribute to the greater good of all things. So just thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. And to those who are listening, part of the reason why I'm doing this podcast, one, is because Hot Sam's is a great story, but two, Tony's my friend, and I wanted to share with him how to do a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Thank
and
you.
I have a lot of nerve. You know, I don't have a lot of listeners yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, I average about 15 or 20 per podcast, but I'm just trying to get my legs and my direction with it. So I have a lot of nerve bringing my apparatus into Hot Sam's, but I figured with the legacy, the live legacy here in Lauren, that's three L's, live legacy and Lauren, that I wanted her to see how I do this.
Right.
So I said, I want you to help your daddy.
There you go. But you know, it's amazing. All these things are spiritual to me, because I had the honor of, I was the president of the Black Chamber of Commerce, and we had Andrew Young come speak, and your father. And you talk about the story about your father and down south in Louisiana and all that. And these are stories that were so, I mean, we're talking about great man, your father, great man, Andy Young. and I happen to know the Son. So I think all these things are divine. So
yeah, you may not know this. My Andrew may have mentioned it when you had him there for the Black Chamber of Commerce. My dad actually took the minutes for the founding of SCLC. Let me say that again. My father was the secretary. He took the minutes for the initial meeting of SCLC. And it was not in Atlanta. Guess where it was?
Where?
New Orleans. That's where SCLC was founded.
Man.
And that's where Andrew Young is from. And guess who was born in New Orleans? Me.
Really? See, once again, that's no coincidence.
Some people say I was there. But, I was so young, I didn't know that. But my father took me everywhere. Mm-hmm. Just like you taking your dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I have really enjoyed this. And we're going to sign off for now. But for those of you who are listening to this, part of the reason why I brought my apparatus to Hot Sam's is I'm hoping that the legacy in Lauren will figure out a way to maybe introduce podcasting as another arm of this fashion-forward business we call Hot Sam's.
Thank you, sir.
So Tony Stovall and Lauren, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.